back at you with part two. The Jola Mr. Madibu Temito Kwen.
Dos.
You know, we're Man out like here. Temi. And we need to dissect a few things. A lot of things.
Man like Temi.
Very unpopular and
man,
unfriendly.
There are a lot of, we, yeah, us African guys, it's been getting out of proportion. Our stereotypes and stigmas that we face.
We
just decided this is it. We have chairman here.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. We will just, you know.
We need to put these to bed.
Game, set, match right here.
You know. Yeah. Number one.
What's the first one?
Is that Sade?
Yes, that's Sade.
Hi, Sade.
What's up, Sade? Sade is like, I'm here to
don't
dissect.
Don't forget about me, guys. We gotta
don't forget about me.
Number one, we got to dissect.
Yeah.
The stereotype that African men are all unfaithful and they have kids and wives and families in different countries.
In different countries?
In different cities, whatever it may be. We need to dissect it.
You know, and I was saying this last time, funny story, like, again, I was on TikTok. Yes, Shadi, I was on TikTok. Mm. And then, what's it called? There was this girl and she was telling a story about her dad used to always go on business trips and her mom used to be like, oh, that's gone for the weekend. And basically, long story short, the dad was not going on business trips. He had a whole nother family at the destination of business.
He was going to do business.
He was handling family business.
You know, and of course, you know, I'm like, sheesh, let me read the comments.
Yeah.
Everyone, and there were a lot of people like, I know a guy like this. Oh, I know a guy like that. You know, all over the place. I'm telling you, you know, she's like, yep. All over the place. So I'm like, man, like, they're actually not only one story. People here backing this, that they know African men who have unknown wives or unknown families, kids in different locations while they're in relationships and marriages.
Hey,
myth or not a myth?
It can't like fully be a myth because there's people that's done it.
Yeah.
But the way that it's blown out of proportion, like, that needs to stop. You know, because first of all, shout out to my girl dads.
Yes. You know, shout out to all the girl dads right here, you know?
girl dads in the house.
But
that needs to stop.
It needs to stop.
It's you never hear anything good about, I swear, like, if a black man does something bad, you'll never hear the end of it.
Yeah. I think it's the I told you so thing, right? Oh, see, I told you.
Yeah.
Because all you need is you're looking for that one bad example, in this case, a few bad examples, to try to justify your rationale. Because at the end of the day, there's white men with multiple families.
They do that too.
You know, there's
every
Asian
race
men
does
that.
Do it, Asian,
you know,
men. So that's what I'm
but
saying.
For some reason, we are the poster child. That, oh, yeah. You know, African men, oh, yeah, he must have... Must have like three in Africa, another one in Jamaica.
Shade, you know what I'm saying?
Shade, we got to dissect it.
I'm telling you, we're out here trying to make sure this myth does not exist.
One time for our African men out there, man. We got to look out for you.
That's what I'm saying, because I see this, I'm just like, man, a part of me is just like, man, I always feel like I need to defend these guys because I'm just like, you guys are choosing a few cases, and here comes a whole congregation. Yes, yes, this is, they're like this, they're like this. No, they're not. Hello, everyone's like this. You know? I'm sure I don't want to say they're women too with, what you know, husbands and kids in another country, but probably not in the proportion of men, but still.
That's hard to hide.
That one is hard to hide. Let me not make
that argument. But all I'm saying is, take it away from the African men. Every other race, they do these things. Other race cheats. Every other race does these sorts of infidelity or, you know, lying about this. So, but there's certain level of just energy that comes with the black man.
We're going to pick it up and run with it.
Man.
So, and I wonder if it's because, you kind of think about back in the day, I think it was a little bit, a lot more accepted or more acceptable to have multiple wives. Like for me, for instance, my grandpa had five wives. I think he had three at the most at the time, but a total of five.
Yeah.
So it was kind of always acceptable. Like you knew African men that had multiple wives back then. This is what, back in 1900s.
Our grandfather's generation, basically.
My grandpops had like three wives, two wives, and like a couple girlfriends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is
It was a known thing.
It was normal thing.
It's the King Solomon syndrome.
But I guess maybe that.
So are we gonna say this is a myth, or I think it's a fake stigma? Because
I think it's a fake stigma too. I mean, there are
the way
some,
it's blown out of proportion.
It's blown out of proportion.
But it is, yes, it is blown out because there are a lot of faithful African men out there, and shout out to
the majority. The majority, come on, fam.
Majority,
come on. So
that needs to bounce.
And not to get back to the religion thing, but I think Africans are one of the most religious people.
Yes.
And with that too, and not saying just because you're religious, that means you're going to be faithful, because there are people that are not faithful.
Totally irrelevant,
But for the most part, there's a lot of them that are, and even just based on religion alone, they are very faithful. So I think for the most part, that's a myth, because that's a general thing that a lot of men do, and to have the African man be the poster child for that's wrong.
Yeah, so we didn't sign up.
We did not sign up. Please,
we're not getting paid no royalties for this.
We ain't getting nothing, fam. Take us out of here, please.
But it's you need to address these Yoruba guys who are not.
Oh my God, those guys, man.
The Yoruba
demons.
The demons. They are not helping us.
Which Yoruba guys? The Yoruba guys in Nigeria or Yoruba?
Well,
guys?
There's the ones.
There's Yoruba tribes everywhere, you know.
They say, look, Yoruba demons.
They're the ones from Nigeria.
And the ones I know are the ones that started in Nollywood and are still here.
That's actually a good point. Because, you watch all these Nollywood movies and you see the guys around.
Oh,
faithful.
You're right. That's probably
so
where
maybe
it began.
That's part of that too. I see these African men. Oh, that's the way of life.
Bro, the early 2000s. Nollywood
man
had
like Jim
the
Ike
content,
out there was
bro.
Moving mad fam in the
But
Ike.
Nollywood had the continent on hold.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah, they
we
do,
weren't
they
watching
did.
Hollywood movies.
Oh, yeah, every auntie would make you watch Nollywood. I'll be like, man, why are you watching this Nollywood? 5 minutes later, I'm watching. 10 minutes later.
Exactly.
An hour later, I'm just here like, and tune in.
Watching out for part two.
Yeah, watching out for part 5, 6, 7.
And I mean, it a lot of like African culture too. I feel like modern African culture has derivatives from Nollywood, because there's people who like, the only reason I know how to do a Nigerian accent is because I watched Nollywood, you know? Aki and Popo are now like worldwide memes.
I mean, yeah.
Sofia in London is like,
Sofia, you should be getting paid for those memes, man.
They really should be. They really should be. Come on.
So it's like, are Yoruba men really getting a fair rap or?
So I'll say the Nollywood part, that probably helped promote the stigma that African men cheat. And because a lot of our movies are always about marriage and love and stuff like that, you know. And more than half of them are always about the guy always looking for another woman. And, you know, so I'll say that promotes the stigma that, you know, African men cheat. And I see, that's African men for you. The Yoruba demon one, I always like to say, it's the Igbo boys that started that propaganda because they wanted to get more girls to steal all the girls for themselves.
It's propaganda.
It's propaganda, man. Yeah, shout out to my Igbo boys, by the way. You know, but I say it's propaganda because, you know, Yoruba guys are faithful too. I mean, obviously, a lot of men are cheap, but you cannot make one the poster child. You know, it's kind of like the
here's the thing, though, Temi. Look. You know, I'm with you. You shouldn't be poster child, shouldn't subject. But, man, I mean, these Yoruba guys don't help themselves, bro.
How many Yoruba guys you know, and how many of them are demons?
This is not the question to ask me, fam. I plead the fifth on that one. Plead the fifth, but, you know, it's just like, it's just, nah, you know, I understand that there's sometimes where you're like, there are a few bad apples, but man, I'm like, are these some of these men trying to live up to their expectation? Or like,
it's a hold my beer challenge. It's Yoruba guys are demons. All right, let me show you what I got. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think it's just one of those things where, you know, I think we always start trends and we just kind of run off with it and kind of joke with it and stuff like that. And I think the Yoruba demon stuff is, you know, it was kind of like a running joke. And, you know, obviously, like I said, you have African men that are unfaithful. I have a lot of Igbo friends. I have Hausa friends, you know. And I know some of those other guys that are unfaithful, but they never get the rep of. You don't hear Igbo demon. You don't hear Hausa demon. You know, well, the Yoruba boys get the rap for it.
Well, because you guys are so outlandish. You guys are so, you know, and it has like almost a bad boy image, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a bad boy image that's associated with being this Yoruba demon of, I'll show you a good time. I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah. You know, that's actually a good point. That's a good point because good girls like bad boys. So now everybody taps into this image of Yoruba demon. You might find a Jamaican guy too coming through.
Trying to be a Yoruba demon, Yoruba demon. You know?
I was thinking that Jamaicans are the Nigerians of the Caribbean.
They are?
But that's another discussion.
Is it a myth or is it a, what do you think?
I'm going to let Temi get this one.
So for me, I don't know. I'll say, part of it is because we accept it and joke about, Yoruba demons, they're here to, you know, mess with you, to do this, do that. But I think on the surface, really, there are actually a lot of Yoruba angels.
Wow.
Like I said, everybody's got demons, you know, everybody's got the, but half the time too, it's the girls will be, they be looking for the demons. You like the flashiness, you want the lifestyle, you know.
You want to ride in BMW.
Yeah. it's not something that's exclusive to Yoruba guys. It's guys all around the world.
I also think that if you're given the opportunity to be the bad boy, like a lot of guys are going to take it because it's it's just words at the end of the day. So it's like, has it ever like properly affected you? Like somebody that you're about demon thing, like has that actually affected you in real life before?
So personally, it hasn't affected. So I mean, people say that when we just joke and laugh, you're about demon. So yeah, our stories have gotten here too. Oh, man, we're worldwide, you know, we're famous, we're global, you know. But it's just, you're just joking. But, you know, I think at some point we have to start really saying, hey, okay, let's take a step back now, guys. Yeah. You know, enough with this. You know, you guys are really putting.
I agree. I think I like it at a joke level. Like, you know, our Yoruba friends, you know, I always call their asses demons, you know, this, you know. But, you know, ultimately, it's a joke level. I don't actually expect them to behave like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I take it as a joke level, but. Now I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like some of these people and, you know, now with the social media thing and this rep and this image of, you know, they'll show you a great time, but then they'll break your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, it's on both sides, on both men and some women. I feel like I can't speak for women, but who knows? Maybe they want to experience that.
Yeah.
You know, other men, other guys, even if you're Yoruba, not feeling like, maybe I should. Pick up this image.
And I think that's what you said earlier, right? It's the, you know, the flashiness.
Yeah.
When you see, you know, you come through with the flash and the charisma.
It's a thrill.
And then when you see that it's actually getting girls, then people start to actually ride the train.
Exactly.
You know? Especially at a prime dating age, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you don't hear a 55-year-old dude say, I'm a Yoruba demon.
The young guys that are still trying to sow their royal oats or whatever. Not saying that's
whatever
excuse,
that means. But, yeah. Well, I know what that means. But look, tell me, y'all got to do somebody because thank God there's no Gambian demon. I know there's no Uganda demon. There's no Jola demon, no Madi demon, you know? So... If my tribe was called a demon, look, I would be taking the whole campaign.
God forbid.
To eradicate and eliminate.
You know, that's the thing. That's the unfortunate thing, right? Because they always see that, Nigerians like to start trends, but like, this is really not a good trend.
This is not
it's
it, bro.
It's putting us in a bad light, my people. So,
this
you know,
is not it,
let's
pal.
Stand up for the Yoruba angels. Where you at? Let's go.
We'll sign the petition.
I'll sign it.
I'll sign the petition.
We'll send them around, man. Make sure you guys sign it.
Show it off like Trump. I'll be like that.
You know? You know, it's like when he held the Bible. They're like, is that a... Mr. Trump, is that your Bible? He's like, it's our Bible.
Oh, my God. How about African men being unromantic? What do you guys
unromantic?
Think about that?
So I'll just speak from a Gambian man perspective. There's a stigma. This one is a stigma we get a lot of. Gambian men being unromantic or they don't... You know, we're not Casanovas. We don't go above and beyond to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Who's saying this? Is this Gambian women?
Gambian women, largely, they criticize, you know. I'm sure probably Senegalese women might feel the same way around the region. But it's a common one that we face. Is it true? Maybe, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. So I like to disagree with that. I think in this day and age, African women, African men are actually romantic. Because, I mean, you look at a lot of proposals and stuff that people do now. Like, you can't tell me that's not romantic. You have people jumping out the helicopter, landing on one knee with the whale.
He won't allow that. He will not be me, fam.
You know, but I mean, obviously, that's kind of a different topic, you know, where you know, it's kind of being a competition and how you want to up each other when you do the proposals. But I think you kind of have to define romance. And I think people are looking at romance from a Western standpoint.
Flowers, diamonds,
chocolate and chocolates. Stuff. This is not our culture.
I think for us, the man, you know, I'll go to the farm. I will bring you all the things you love to cook. I will bring you what you want. And then slowly became, oh yes, I'm a big man. I buy this.
I'll buy everything you want. I'll just buy it, and you know.
But yeah, I mean, there's different ways of romance.
What is romance? So it's like African men being unromantic. What, you want me to be French? You want me to be Italian? What you want?
It's so subjective because like I have like friends that are like, oh, like a man can't romance me if he doesn't speak my language, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, that's one.
Who said that?
but it's like, that's the thing, you know? It's like, you can't come and start speaking Spanish to her and she'll be like, what are you saying? You know, it's like, speak my language so you can romance me in my language. Cause you know, vernacular, like, you can say some like real, some real
deep stuff.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can really say some things.
I mean, yeah, of course, but come on.
And then it's like, what if I came and planted you some cassava? Mm. I planted you some, you know, some spinach. Like, that's romancing in a sense.
Look, you're right, Ivan.
You know?
We've been westernized, thinking that romance is supposed to be something that's westernized. African men, actually, you know what? Thinking about it after you guys say, we're very romantic.
Very romantic.
Yeah. If I go to the farm and I cut the last plantain bunch.
Come on.
And instead of going to sell it in the market, I come give it to you. I mean, isn't that?
is that not romantic? Sounds romantic. We pay whole bride price. You know what I'm saying? We go above and beyond in a lot of ways. A lot of times, you know, we just talked about feeling like we should, you know, make sure we take care and we provide. The African man does that, you know. So it wouldn't that be deemed as a form of romance?
I think so.
You know, we show affection. Maybe the ways that a lot of women have been shown in Western sense of view of what a man's supposed to do to show affection. Mm-hmm. There's a culturally and what we've been raised and how we do it might be a little bit different, mm-hmm. but it is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why is it not deemed as romantic?
And kind of looking back to, I guess part of it could be a sense that, oh, back in the year, a lot of Africans would be like, oh, they've never seen their parents kiss. They've never, you know, seen their parents do that. You know,
that's
you tell their parent, I love you. They say, thank you. You know, but you got to understand there's different ways to show in love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is kind of being the Western stuff. And I think it was kind of, we've been exposed to it. And so I feel like our generation now is being more romantic. You know, we buy the flowers, we're doing this, we're doing the chocolates and stuff like that. Because, I mean, even from when I was
capitalism.
In school, from when I was in school in Nigeria, Valentine's Day, you know, if you're going to do something for your girl on Valentine's Day, you got to make sure she have a box of chocolate, wine.
You see?
And a cake.
Mm-hmm. You see?
Mostly stuff that her friends are going to eat because that's how you view the romance.
Because they watched it on TV or, you know.
That's what the friends get. And that's kind of what it is now is a lot of what people are saying, oh, you're not romantic is you want something that's loud and you want to, you know, something that other people can see and be envious of. But I think romance is really, it's a personal thing and you personally have to know what your wife likes and what she doesn't like. Because, I mean, you could take flowers to a girl because you think that's what every girl likes and give her the flowers in front of a, you know, in front of everybody and put her on the spot and she becomes embarrassed and she's not really into that.
I see what you're saying.
But she might be more into you actually bringing her the flowers.
So just
in a private spot, you know.
So
just learn your
partner. You learn your partner and, you know, what they like, what they don't like, you know.
Yeah. So fake. It's wrong. It's a bad stigma. It's a bad myth.
Very bad.
You know, of African men being unromantic.
Fake news.
Know?
That's fake news.
And then I'll just say this to the ladies, like, don't let, you know, what you see as, you know, in a Western sense of view or in, you know, this society, American society, of what is romantic, what is deemed romantic, that you should expect that from about, us African men.
How about African men expecting their spouses to cook? Expecting, not just...
Wait, here's the thing. I wonder, you mean expect, would like them to know how to cook?
No, the myth...
They should cook.
The myth is that African men always expect their spouses to cook. Do you think there's validity to that, or do you think that's cap?
I mean, that one, I think is kind of true, bro.
There's some truth to that.
Expect?
Would like their spouse to know how to cook.
Not to know how to cook, is to cook.
To cook?
Yeah.
Or expect or demand? Which one is it?
Expect. Those kind of go hand in hand, don't you think?
I mean, I think there's some truth to that. I think
you
that's
expect,
more
expect, but
side.
If you don't get it, then it's going to be a problem. Or is it if you a don't deal get breaker? It's like, that's not a big deal.
Well, then that it becomes subjective at that point. I'm just.
Like, I do think African men, generally, my opinion here, generally, they do expect their spouses or wives to know how to cook when they never actually look at themselves. If they actually, what can they cook or what can they make or why should they have this request?
So that's been your experience.
That has been my experience, and this is a view that I held until. Few years ago
when you had to start cooking.
You know what I'm saying is where I used to just think that you should expect that your wife's supposed to, or your spouse, whoever you marry, you should expect them to cook. That's something I used to believe.
So I think there is some truth to that, to be real. And I, for me, I think kind of going back to like me growing up and, you know, and like my dad, who always tell us, you know, the kitchen is no place for a man. Now, in hindsight, I do understand why he'll say that, because I mean, we were three boys and one girl, and then you also have my mom in there that's cooking with the maid as well. So you have everybody in the kitchen, you know, most times are gonna be up to no good anyway. So I do understand that now. But you know, it's easy based on something like that to feel like, oh well, as a man, I don't need to cook. The woman does the cooking, you know. So when you marry, you be like, oh, my wife must know how to cook. Yeah. But I think coming to America really kind of opens a lot of people's eyes. And you start to realize that that's not a fair expectation. Because especially if both of you guys are working, you know, you start to realize that, you know, you guys kind of have to share this load evenly. And if not, you're going to burn your wife out, you know. You don't want to do that. That's just, you know, your wife's not going to be happy. You're not going to be happy, you know. So, but for me personally, I've learned. I think there is some truth to it.
Okay.
And I think my relationship, I think it's evolved over the years. I think I started out expecting it. But as time went on, I started to realize, okay, you know what? I got to go in the kitchen, help out every now and then too.
Yeah.
You know, help with the dishes. Because, like I said, you got to look at it from a team standpoint, you know.
Play your part.
Yeah, you play your part. You know, at the end of the day, it don't matter who's scoring the goals. As long as you're scoring goals to, you know.
Got to lay some assists, too.
Yeah, you get some assists.
This guy's moving like Bruno. I mean, I hear that.
It hasn't been
my experience because, so in Africa, we had house help. So they would do the cooking while moms and pops are at work. And then when we moved here, moms and pops both at work, but my dad was the better chef. So my dad actually cooked like when I was growing up. And it wasn't until I got to college when I started hanging out with like, because now like African girls are on their own, you know, in the dorms and apartments. So like when I'm coming to their house, they're like, oh, like, I don't have food. Let me cook something for you. Stuff like that. And I was like,
Used to find that weird.
It was different.
It was different.
Of course, you know, being an opportunist, I was I got lunch today.
You don't have to, but you know, you just sit down.
But it honestly, like, it was something new that I hadn't experienced. Because that wasn't my experience. And of course, when you go to like family gatherings and stuff, you got the aunties cooking and stuff. But to me, that was just more so like, it just happened. It wasn't like an expectation, because like there were some times where the women would be like, nah, the men have to cook this time, you know? So it wasn't my experience, but like I hear the perspective on which you're coming from now.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's dope. Like,
yeah, you think what is dope?
If whoever wants to cook, like, just cook.
And in some sense, like you said, right, sometimes the guy could be the better cook.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. If the guy's the better cook, especially, throw it down. It. You know, if I'm a better cook than my future spouse, I'll take over. I'll try to take over. You know, what else can you do? You don't have a choice.
But we do got to shout out Uncle E's Baking, because
come on, fam. Master Baker out here, Timmy.
I've been hearing rumblings, bro.
Kickbox.
Banana bread.
And banana bread, the chocolate chip muffins.
Come on, fam.
I'll get hungry. Let me stop.
Come on, fam.
Yeah. Hidden talents over here, man.
Yeah, for sure.
See, we're breaking the stigma. You know? This is from a guy I was telling. I mean, I probably didn't know how to maybe cook anything till I was probably like 22.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I grew up probably until my late teens, never made food for myself. It's just, and you grow up, and it's like a cultural stigma. Not cultural, but what I just experienced is always like women who cook.
Yeah.
And as a guy, that was, you know, kitchen was not my place.
Mm.
Maybe besides just put the dishes and go, you know, stuff like that. So largely I believe that, cooking is not for me. You know, if I either I buy the food or I expect women to make it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
But now it's,
so now
it's very therapeutic, like cooking.
The baking and stuff, or finding recipes, you know, I'm like, man, this is great.
And nowadays, too, it's pretty straightforward because YouTube has been a blessing.
You find everything. Even TikTok will give you recipes.
Exactly.
I know, IG, TikTok, everybody's got recipes on there, you know. And they're so quick, too. He's like, oh, that's all I got to do? Oh, man.
Yeah.
But shout out, when I was at Wazoo before IG and all that, shout out to my homegirl. I used to call her, you know, to get the directions and stuff like that.
She should be helping you out.
Yeah, she'd be helping you out.
Look, the African women know steel. The way they throw it down, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Elite, top tier. So, you know.
Unmatched.
You know, power to them.
But tell me, we like to close usually with highlighting a pioneer, some sort of African pioneer, Black pioneer, Nigerian if you want to, or a business, Black business that we are looking to shout out and support. So, you know, who do you want to feature?
All right. So I'll shout out Ocho Clothing. That's my baby's business, my wife's business. So she's always part of the fashion show. You know, she got the hookup for your custom made clothes, you know, oddjoclothing.com.
How do you spell it?
ODDJO.
We'll send the link. We'll make sure we have the links there.
Got it.
.com. Yeah. So, but shout out to my guy, Emmanuel, as well, Royal Trads. He's got all your ready to wear African clothes, you know, formal clothes too, you know. He's got the hookup, all the Wakanda Forever gear, you know.
Come on.
He's got that, you know. So shout out to Royal Trads. I think it's royaltrads.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Royal Trads on IG and Arjo Clothing on IG as well.
Cool. Perfect.
And then also shout out, y'all be on the lookout for Mama Sweet Box. It's going to be vegan catering. So get your vegan fix. I know COVID done hit. COVID done hit, you know, all the 20 pounds from COVID.
Yeah.
We're going to bring you to the vegan side. And that's kind of what's been helping me, you know, not get too blown out of proportion.
You know, new season's coming up. Summer season's coming up. FC Wakanda. So
y'all got to get the food right, get the body right, get the mind right. So we're going to be doing some vegan catering. You know, you get your fix of, you know, vegan African food, vegan soul food.
Oh, wonderful.
All that stuff. So I'll be on the lookout for that.
Hey, you heard it here first. Shout out, support Black business.
Support, you know.
You know, I've actually been looking for a tailor because buying those Craft Village like fits, you outgrow it, nice in the closet, but you can't give it to Goodwill because they won't understand and appreciate the culture.
So what do you mean? Let them wear it, please. I beg. When can Goodwill
I dropped some stuff.
I dropped like African clothes there. Yeah.
You know, back in the day, we used to wear like the baggy stuff, and now that's kind of out of style.
Now it's more fit. I had a bunch more slim
of
fit.
Yeah, it's all slim fit, so I just dumped them off at Goodwill.
Come on.
White people are going to be like, oh my gosh, is that
give them some cultural cleansing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
You use that to get your jungle fever, man.
Come on. Hey, you know, shoes. Why not?
But yeah, but Tammy, thank you for joining.
Thank you, man.
Dropped a lot of gems.
Come on.
We've busted some myths, and you know, I'm just grateful that you were able
to. We had another special guest come out and to make
the trek, and
Shout out to Sade.
That's what I was saying. That's the special guest. We got two special guests this episode.
She made her presence.
Came in and blessed us real quick, you know?
Yeah, no
checked out little Pierre over here. Be like, all right, you know?
Yeah.
But no, thank you, Timmy.
Thanks, you guys.
Definitely was a pleasure. I mean, shout out to you guys again. I mean, this is really big, you know.
Come on.
So we as an African community, we have to keep washing each other's hands. So this is dope. You guys got this platform and, you know. Spreading the game to everybody, you know. So we're always, you know, giving us life. So appreciate that.
Keep going.
We'll keep at it, bro.
No doubt.
Mr. Maddie.
Thanks, you guys, for joining. Please don't forget to comment, like, subscribe. And, yeah, peace, love, and blessings.